You remember Dan Hartman? You know you got me spellbound. No, it's gonna be moving sidewalks. I can dream up. Okay, sorry, I was just having an 80s flashback there. Mike Matthews here, the host of the longest running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth by a fella named Mike Matthews. That is in Podcastro Valley, the last place on Earth in the land of Meritopica. It is Mike's Daily Podcast, FF episode 3000, speaking of the 80s, 82. 3082. Hey, what is happening here? Something's going on that's not quite clear. Some passengers on BART are responding positively to the agency's reduction in the number of train cars. What? That support, though, has been derailed by the decision to double down on fare enforcement through the installation of new fare gates. This from SF Gate, which stands for San Francisco Gate. SF Gate, if you didn't know. Because of, you know, it's like the Golden Gate Bridge. I think that's why they called it that. I don't know. I've lived here a long time, and I know it belongs to the Chronicle. BART, I guess they didn't want to start a website called newschronicle.com, so they came up with SF Gate years and years ago. And I used to post my podcast on there till they figured out I was just a podcast that was a comedic, interesting learning type show. And they took it down. But that's all right. I don't take any umbrage. So BART spent $27.2 million on policing to address a $9.5 million problem. 27 to solve a $9 million problem. So the BART's push to boost its fare enforcement, spending $90 million on next generation fare gates, while BART police increase stops and citations for evading payment, has a noted critic from a Yale-based nonprofit research center. Let me see. Last I checked, Yale is not in California or in the Bay Area. If this was like a Stanford or Berkeley research thing, I'd also laugh at it. But a new report from the Center for Policing Equity published last week cast doubt on the effectiveness of BART's overall fare enforcement strategy. While some transit riders are responding well to the shortening of its trains, a plan that aims to create a sense of safety in numbers, big question mark over my head when I read that, because that means I'm going to wait longer for the next train. I don't get it. Others are simultaneously deriding BART for its decision to emphasize policing, a strategy that the CPE, which is the Center for Policing Equity, argues is fruitless. Hey, CPE, hi, my name's Mike. I ride the BART trains quite a bit. In fact, I plan to do it tomorrow. Here's the thing, is if you ride a BART train, what you will notice right now, since not all of the stations have this massive enforcement new fare gate, which I think is beautiful, works fantastic. You can't jump over it because it goes all the way to the top of the ceiling. You can't jump through the ceiling. And they worked, the people that still want to skirt the rules and not want to pay, or maybe they can't pay, I understand, but they still got to travel from one end of the bay to the other. The people that want to do that, they still can. If they find a person like me who's going through the gate, they come through just as I'm going through the gate and they squeeze through. Thankfully, nobody's actually bumped into me, because that's a whole, you're invading my space and that can lead to other issues. So, but the CPE, they don't live in the real world. They live in this la-la land, where everybody gets everything they ever wanted, that they have all the things, as Betty Pringle said. What has happened to Betty these days?
We have to win all the things, all
Betty Pringle is still the president of the National Education Association. Okay, I guess that is not funded by the government. Is that why it still exists? Has Elon Musk or the McMahon lady gotten rid of it? I don't think so. I don't know. But the thing is that we really, if you ride BART today, it is just a shell of what it used to be. Not even 10 years ago, it used to be so much nicer. And it has gone so downhill. And the people that run it constantly complain they don't have enough money to run it, when the fact is these fare evaders don't pay. And there is so much money that is not being collected because people are riding it for free. It says here, the current approach to fare enforcement within BART not only overstates the financial impacts of fare evasion, but also lacks a cohesive strategy to address its underlying issues, says this report. However, a BART spokesperson, Alicia Trost, said, our fare inspectors and the act of enforcing fare payment does more for our system than revenue recovery. She said that BART riders commonly request the presence of police officers at fare gates to prevent people from jumping over them, which I have seen regularly. I have seen this. I think I've seen him more than once. The same guy, really tall guy, young guy. He looks like he's got brand new shoes, state-of-the-art Nikes or whatever the style type shoe is to have. And he's got a really nice sound system that he's listening to, really nice clothes. And he just steps over the gate, just walks right over it like it's nothing. And I've seen all kinds of other people do it as well, regularly, every time I ride it. I'll see it tomorrow when I ride BART. But Trost said that the people jump over BART riders are commonly requesting the presence of police officers at fare gates to prevent people from jumping over them, and that uniformed staff on the trains are part of a larger effort to enhance security in their system. As I mentioned in an earlier podcast, I saw some of these people, some of this staff, and I actually thanked them. This was last Friday when I was riding BART home, and I saw that I had listened to one guy who was actually helping somebody on the phone. And I waved to them and I said, thank you. Since 2016, BART has partnered with this CPE to study the transit system's policing. The latest report follows a cost-benefit analysis focused on BART's fare enforcement operation. Here's what I say to BART. Stop sending them money. Stop giving them any money. No more money should go to them, especially with you complaining all the time about being in a major financial crisis. Before the pandemic, fare collection was the primary revenue source for BART, funding nearly 70% of its operating costs. That is no longer the case, as the number has plummeted to 25%. And you can see when you ride BART why people are not paying. BART's funding model no longer works. Relying on passengers' fares is outdated and is unjust. Okay, wow. Does that mean I don't need to use my Clipper card anymore? In an attempt to recoup losses from riders not paying fees, BART spent $27 million on personnel and expenses for fare enforcement. This was 2 years ago. However, with this report that illustrated how the revenue that BART lost in fare evasion paled in comparison to the amount spent to combat it, the report found that unpaid fares contributed to the revenue losses between roughly $5.7 million and $9.5 million in 2023. Thereby, they're saying that the cost of paying for all this equipment to stop the fare evasion and the cops is not going to help. Well, it doesn't make sense. Make it free. Make it free and just, I guess electricity is free now? And the workers on BART, they're going to work for free? Is that how this is going to work? Okay. It sounds a little crazy, like some stupid high school kids that nearly crashed their car in my neighbor's house. Oh, you didn't hear about that? Ooh, I'll get into that. But first, you got to follow me into Cafe Anyway. Here we go. Cafe Anyway. Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
3082-3082 is what the FFF episode is. It is Mike Matthews here at Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
In the land of a Meritopica here in Podcastro Valley. There's some people that I think should rally, never have a license, a driver's license at all. There's some kids that the parents of these kids didn't try at all to teach them how to drive correctly. There's a corner
Mike's Daily Podcast
near my house that is, well, there's some kids in a hatchback that like to take
Mike's
this corner
Daily
at a reckless speed.
Podcast.
And today it caught up with them. Now, thankfully, they always whiz right by this van that's got these really cool kind of portal type windows like you would have. What do they call those little windows on a ship? The ship windows, that kind of round window. It's like a portal window, something like that. They look like that on this van. This is old style, like 60s van type thing. Well, they go careening past this van at this reckless speed. And they've been doing this now for a couple of weeks. And we catch them all the time doing it. Well, today they stopped. Let's see, I got the description here from a neighbor that said the following. And this we don't even need next door. This is called knowing each other's phone numbers, so you can text each other when they do that. Okay, you know that little gray hatchback that drives recklessly? Well, sure enough, just a few minutes ago, I heard the same screech as they were taking the turn, but then I heard a crash. Sure enough, a bunch of stupid kids got out of the car. I think they hit that van on the corner where the dog daycare house is. There's some people standing by the van and the kids are parked next to the bus stop. I can't tell if anyone is hurt or if someone called the cops. Right now, they're just standing around. Stupid kids. Now it looks like one of the kids must have called another, because now another car pulled up.
And here's today's podcast picture.
Behind them, and it looks like they maybe fixed the tire. Can't tell. Stupid kids. Every one of these paragraphs ends with stupid kids. Actually, a couple of them end with a bad word in between the stupid and the kids. But the podcast picture is not of the stupid kids. It's of the beautiful view, the beautiful sunset that you can see right there. If you are on BART and you're going past Quarry Lakes in Fremont, well, so see that picture at mikesdailypodcast.com. The wonderful sunset there as you take BART. Oh my gosh, the craziness with BART lately. The fire happening there in San Leandro. And I didn't get a full-on excuse for why that happened. But it burned up a bunch of cable and fiber optics and took out the power in the neighborhood there in San Leandro, near where I was trying to use a gift card at that Evergreen Nursery that's near there, just down the street, maybe about a mile or two.
Mike Matthews going to come in with more encouragement for you.
Here's my encouragement. Don't forget your darn gift card. If you got a gift card for a nursery or whatever, maybe it's a debit card. Maybe the Target lady is going to say something like,
"You can use your debit if it's easier. Don't worry, I will cross my eyes so I can't see your secret code."
Oh, I guess Target. Did I hear Target had a bad earnings call recently? Well, what I did find out was I took this here gift card that I received back when I was married. So this is 2009. So this gift card is now 16 years old. And I'm taking it over to this wonderful place where they sing
Baby Shark, doo 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 doo, Grandma Shark, doo 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 doo, Evil Shark.
They love sharks for some weird reason at this nursery. And I go and I'm going to use up the rest of this gift card. Finally, I never make it out to this part of San Leandro, but today I'm going to do it. Well, this was Sunday. So I drive over there and I drive past where, little was I to know, but later on Tuesday, there'd be a fire at the BART station and everybody would be, no, I won't be able to ride the BART to work. Dang it. And then I pick out the thing I wanted to get, this big pot full of plants that produce squash, a squash plant, because I want to plant it just in time as summer is approaching. And so I get the squash plant And I'm going over, and the lady at the cashier, the cashier lady says, nope, you know
oh,
what?
Oh, you almost had it. You got to be quicker than that.
You got to be quicker than that. You got to use those gift cards much quicker than that. You waited 16 years. That's too late. You can't use it. Wait, I thought this was real money. What? You can't. There's no expiration date on the card. Oh, well, you got to show me what the receipt. I'll believe it when I see the receipt. How can I show you the receipt? Any receipt paper 16 years hence, the ink has vanished. It has dissipated. You won't be able to read it unless you have some. Now, this is my review about this sort of thing, is you won't be able to read it.
Mike's absolutely useless review.
Unless you have some kind of magic light that will make it suddenly appear, the invisible ink suddenly appear. But my review of this particular nursery is it's awful and they owe me $20. That's all. But back to reckless, stupid kids that live in Podcastro Valley, I guess, because they seem to, they must live by, close by because they make this turn constantly. And the witness to this said, no, they look like stupid high schoolers. I think the other people standing around were just curious onlookers because now they're gone. The kids are still there trying to figure out something with the car.
I need some turntables, Mike, if you're going to say it like that.
Yeah. This sounds like a song, doesn't it? They must have bleeped up something when they took that turn, probably blew out a tire. Stupid blank kids. No cops have shown up, so I don't think anyone called. Yeah, it doesn't look like they damaged the van, just their own stupid car. Hopefully the next time they'll think twice before acting the fools. You know, I know, I'm one to talk. What? Because I am the host of this show, so I am one to talk. As we go outside a cafe anyway, we were bringing Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica. It is a podcast, and I must say, I'm podcasting, doing the audio podcast thing. If you want to see any of the video, it is there on the website, mikesdailypodcast.com, as I feature it there on my Facebook. It's from the Facebook page. Is where I do the video. So
what's going on? I just saw on the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
I'm not
going
to leave Facebook until, well, you know, Facebook has done so many things to irritate us and upset us. So those of you who are still on it, you're going to probably be on it no matter what Zuckerberg does. And you'll be on X no matter what Elon does. And you'll be on YouTube no matter what Google does. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. My point is that this story that I haven't even gotten to yet was probably given to me by this guy.
Who doesn't like cash cows? How do you do that? I just said the word cash cow.
Yeah, that's Rob Black. I produce his podcast. He's heard on AM 1220 KDOW weekday afternoons at 5. And he's on Cron TV Monday through Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. And okay. So back when I was a kid, like these stupid fools, somebody who drove kids to school. I was a kid myself. We were commuters. We did like a little caravan. Whatever the word is I'm trying to think of, and I'm having an issue.
Sorry.
So I said, hey, I will drive you. Oh yeah, it was a neighbor kid who was actually a foreign exchange student from Spain, and then another kid that lived down the street that my mom knew of because she knew his parents. And I said, I will drive the two of you, and we worked out that they would pay me like $1 a week or some crazy thing. It was cheap. It was in the 80s, so that seemed reasonable. This is why I'm not rich today. So
that's good stuff.
Wow.
I don't like that sound effect. That's the one I don't like.
Wow, wow, wow.
That's better. That's
okay.
Better.
Thank you. The thing is, one time we were late, and I'm driving us in a travel-all truck. I don't know if you know what a travel-all truck is. They're kind of these cool, very retro today if you saw one on the road. They are like a big, like a station wagon, but bigger, more boxier. Think like a big boxy retro car. And I'm driving along, and well, we found that we could get to school faster if we took this back alleyway. And we're driving down the alleyway, and this particular day I'm driving really fast because we're really late, and I didn't see the...
I'm gonna weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
No, I didn't see it. I saw the pronouns, but I didn't see the pothole. And I hit the pothole super hard, super fast, and the car stopped. I said, hey! And you were able to put the car in a manual. Back then, I can't put my Honda into manual no matter what I do. But this car I could. I said, it was a Travel All truck. Who makes International? Makes those. They make the big rigs, but International made this particular truck. So I put it into neutral. The two guys, I think there was a third guy, and I can't, a third young kid. I didn't particularly like him. I think it was a friend of one of the other ones, so I agreed to drive. But I got the three of them to all push this dead vehicles to a parking spot. We parked, and then we still had to run about a half mile to get to the school. I think we were all late anyway, cafe anyway. But I'll tell you, we lost a lot of weight that day. You couldn't call us fat, that's for sure.
There's a Spanish holiday tradition called El Gordo, the fat one.
That's Laura Fryer. She's on NPR, and she has one of the most overly dramatic voices I have ever heard on a news station. News radio, NPR. Yeah, news radio, wasn't that with Phil Hartman back in the day? Aw. And the guy from Kids in the Hall. Oh, and a young Joe Rogan was on that, playing the engineer, which is funny, and he became this huge podcasting star. So, I tell you what, it was just... it. Oh, so I must say that my mom's second husband, he came to the rescue. At the end of the school day, he showed up. I thought he'd be super mad. But instead, he kind of laughed. And he said, you know what you did? You knocked the engine off its mounts. So I got to put it back on. Somehow he was able to remount the engine. I don't know if I think I helped him a little bit, but he did most of the work. And if I had helped, I probably would have remembered what he did, which I should have done, because then I would have known if that ever happened to me. Thankfully, it has not happened to me in the 40 years hence. But anyway, cafe anyway, that was when I was a stupid fool back then. And you know, we all hopefully outgrow it at some point. These kids, hopefully they learned their lesson today. I'm hoping they did.
Right. But
I hope. We'll see. Okay. What is happening here? This thing here. Oh, this thing over here. Luxury goods. Fashion, leather.
That's enough. Put down the mic.
No. I just want to talk about fashion, leather goods, watches, jewelry. Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Hermes, Tiffany, Gucci, Prada, Dior. They got the $15,000 Birkin.
I can't make this up.
Yeah, $15,000 Birkin bags, $1,000 belts. They continue to outstrip supply, but sales are dropping elsewhere. After nearly tripling its economic profit from 2019 to 2024, the global luxury market has now hit a snag. The global luxury goods market is projected to generate around $370 billion in revenue in 2024, but the industry lost 50 million shoppers. They generated about 30, so that was last year, but they have lost 50 million shoppers.
When I grow up, I want to be obsessed with emotional safety and do workplace sensitivity training all day long.
Because people are too busy doing workplace sensitivity training. No, analysts now expect the global luxury market to shrink 2% this year. But it is a sharp U-turn from their 5% growth that was previously forecast. I bet the tariffs have something to do with it. That's enough. Put down the mic. Price increases are negatively affecting the demand from aspirational luxury consumers. In China, luxury sales, they didn't drop by like 2%. A little bit. Nope. They dropped almost 20%. Woo! That's a lot, luxury sales. They're dropping in China. And many inspirational buyers are keeping a tighter grip on their wallets. I'm sorry, aspiration.
I'm calling about the tennis lessons for my grandson, age 13.
Okay. See, now, if those stupid kids were playing tennis, they wouldn't be getting into trouble like crashing a hatchback like they did almost into the van, the very nice van of my neighbor. So, yeah. So, aspirational buyers are keeping a tighter grip on their wallets. And Gucci saw a revenue plunge as the brand struggles to connect with high-end buyers. They're plunging and blunging all over the place. I've just created a word on today's...
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander.
Hey, thank you for listening. Look who is outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopka. Hi, Mark. It's Benito the Rodeo Queen. How y'all doing? I brought my horse, Nelly.
Anthony Scroll Field Player, tell you what.
What?
All that goo-goo stuff and that Dior hoo-ha I'm proud of whatever... I mean, that's just a bunch of filth. I can't stand it. And I can't stand the way people spend so much money.
It was kind of scary.
Yeah, they spend so much dang money all the time. It drives me nuts. Like my lovely wife, Benita the Rodeo Queen, she sometimes buys stuff like crazy things. Like she once bought this purse that inside the purse, it was filled with a bunch of these beautifully wrapped objects. It turned out they were a bunch of old cassettes that somebody had made a bunch of mixtapes, and they got rid of it by wrapping them up, putting them in this here purse that was really expensive. I can do the rest of the podcast if y'all want.
No, I'm going to take over right now. I know I ramble a lot, but wow.
I was born to ramble. Ramble on, sing my song, Led Zeppelin.
We've been quoting a lot of Robert Plant lately. We did Heaven Knows, the song. All clean, all pure, with a 30-second attention span. I love that line. It's so funny because people have no attention spans today. 30 seconds, you're getting way, way, way too much attention. Why? You have that much to spare? That's insane. I don't know what to say.
What are you, nuts?
And look who else is here.
Hold on, Mike. I make delicious root beer half to my now. Ever!
Oh, I can't wait to have some of this right now. Very good. What's in there?
I put some delicious happy juice that I made from cabbages. I'm watching right now, couldn't you?
Did you say cabbages? Cabbage juice? Is that going to be the next thing?
Yes. Woo, love it.
Cabbages are wonderful. I mean, I'm German. Yeah, I got to like cabbage. And then I also got a little Irish, so... Potatoes, cabbage, St. Patrick's Day, corned beef, that whole thing. Not a fan of kimchi, but man, every once in a while, I'll get some little bite of kimchi that's delish. They put just the right spices in there. Other times I'm But hey, that's your thing. That's your journey. Own your journey. Even if you got crazy looking toenails, own that.
Why do your toenails look like that?
The answer to that, my friend, is one that you can give me. If you call this number, and also call this number, if you have any crazy stories of things that you did when you were a high schooler, or when you first had a car, or when you were just young and you were like wrapping up high school or college or something, you know, we did young, stupid young things when we were young. They were stupid. So you can call me at this number.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you so much for listening.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
There's no evidence of that. I've not heard of it before, but...